Blog Talk Radio.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. This evening, inshallah, that is, if it be the will of Allah, we're going to talk to you about the first form and also the second form of the Arabic verb. And they are very, very similar in structure, and you will see that quite readily when we go into the presentation and set forth the similarities. In Arabic, most dictionaries that you will find are structured on the root verb patterns of the first form in terms of getting to the various roots that expand into sometimes 15 different forms, would include nouns, verbs also. The first form usually consists of three letters. For example, fa'ala. Fa'ala. Fa'ta'un, all three of those letters. Fa'ain and lam. Fa'ala. They are easily discerned, that is the first form, because of the fact that there are only three letters, or sometimes there will be two letters. An example of a two-letter verb is dalla, dalla, dawd, and then the lam, which is doubled, with shadda, fatha, dalla, and dalla means to go astray. The root of dalling, those who miss the mark, or those who go astray. A hollow verb, which has the middle letter removed, either had a waw, or a ya, or an aleph in the middle. An example of a hollow verb is kana. Kana, that's kaf, fatha, lifin with aleph, nun fatha. Kana. Originally, the waw was in the middle, and the verb was kawana. They changed it to kana for what we call euphony, which is pleasantness of sound and ease in pronunciation. I mentioned the term euphony as pleasantness of sound and ease in pronunciation. That's spelled E-U, P as in Paul, H-O-N-Y. I'm looking here on the internet now, and they give the definition of euphony as agreeableness of sound, pleasing effect to the ear, especially a pleasant sounding or harmonious combination or succession of words. And surely the Quran is that. Alhamdulillah. Coming from page 82 of my book entitled The Language of Revelation, I have in the section entitled Finding Verb Roots the fact that there are also four-letter root verbs. An example of a four-letter root verb would be tarjama, tarjama, which means translate. He translated, or the infinitive form, to translate. Again, tarjama, ta with fatha, Ra with Sukun, Jim with Fatha, Meme with Fatha, Tara Jama. We encourage you to focus on the 10 forms because they are more common out of the 15 forms. The first form of the verb is the base form, as we mentioned earlier. Most Arabic dictionaries, concordances of the Quran, and lexicons are structured by the third person masculine singular root form. Third person is the he form. I am the first person, you are the second person, he or she or they is the third person. And it's very important to know that the third person masculine singular form generally has three letters. If it's in the regular standard verb pattern of fa'ala, if it's a verb that has two letters like dalla, there would be two letters. And if it's the fourth form, as we mentioned earlier, it would be four letters. Probably if it's a quadriliteral verb, it would be four letters. Tarjama. Once the verb conjugation patterns are mastered in the first form, they can be used as a base to conjugate verbs in the other forms. Why? Because the prefixes and the suffix letters are for the most part the same in all 15 forms. When learning the basic 10 forms, compare them with the first form and internalize the differences, similarities, and features of each form. For example, the difference between the first form and the third person masculine past tense pattern and the third form third person masculine past tense is the lengthening of the fa of the verb with fatha. So what I'm saying to you now in more simpler terms, the first form is fa'ala, three letters with fatha. To take that first form verb to the third form, all I have to do is lengthen the fa with aleph and it becomes fa'ala, fa'ala instead of fa'ala. One slight change, you go from the first form to the third form. Now, to go from the first form to the second form, all we do is add a shadda to the middle letter of the verb, and it becomes fa'ala. It's kind of difficult to double up on that ayin, but if you hear my voice intonation, you'll see that I'm giving a real rough guttural sound on the first ayin and then coming out of it with ah. So again, the second form, fa'ala, whereas the first form is fa'ala. And as we mentioned a moment ago, the third form is fa'ala. I want to give you another example of a second form verb using the letters dal, ra, and seen. Darasa means he studied. Darasa means he taught. Darasa. So if you see or hear from my voice intonation, you know that I'm simply saying in the first form, dal, ra, and seen with fatha, darasa. When I go to the second form, I'm doubling up on the ra. Daughter, that's the first ra, and then the second ra takes fatha, and then the scene with fatha. Daughter rasa, meaning, again, he taught. I turn your attention now to page 83, entitled Measuring a Verb. We mentioned fa'ala is used as a model verb to measure other verbs from the first form to the 15th form of the Arabic verb. And when we say model verb, we say that it is understood to be the perhaps best verb to be used as a measuring tool, if you will, for other verbs in the sense that fa'ala literally means he did. He did an action. It could be talking, singing, riding, walking, you name it. So we use fa'ala as the model verb. So what do we mean by that when I say model verb? Say, for example, on the bottom of the page 83, we have the verb kataba. Kaf with fatah, ta with fatah, ba with fatah. So we say that kataba is on the pattern of fa'ala. All we did was change the letters, but we kept the three fathas on the three letters in fa'ala and the three letters in kataba. So the language that is used is as follows. The kaf is the fa of the verb kataba. The ta is the ayn of the verb kataba. The ba is the lam of the verb kataba. So all I'm simply saying is that the kaf is in the first position, the ta is in the second position, the ba is in the third position, as is the case with the fa is in the first position of the model verb, the ayin is in the second position of the model verb, and the lam is in the third position of the model verb. Just think with me if you would. If I give you the verb da-ra-ba, da-ra-ba. That's the letter da'd, the letter ra, and the letter ba. Da-ra-ba. So the da'd is the fa of the verb. Da-ra-ba. The ra is the ayn of the verb. Da-ra-ba. And the ba is the lam of the verb. Da-ra-ba. Another example, rasala, rasala, ra, seen, and lam. The word rasul is related to rasala, and rasala meant, or means, pardon me, he sent a message. So the ra is the fa of the verb, the seen is the ayn of the verb, and the lam is the lam of the verb. It just so happens that in the verb rasala and the model verb fa'ala, the lam is the last of the three verbal root letters. I turn you now to page 86 in the book entitled The Language of Revelation, where we have the conjugation of the first form verb along with the independent pronouns. I begin now the conjugation, and if you do not have the book, I would encourage you to secure it and go back to the archives here on this Blog Talk radio station. Ana, meaning I. Ana, that's Aleph Fatha, Nun Fatha, lengthened with Aleph. Ana. So whenever you have a fatha on a letter, you should have it in your mind that there should be an abrupt, short pronunciation and movement to the next letter. Ana, kataba, real short and choppy. Fa'ala, darasa, not long sounds, but short and choppy, if you will. Darasa. So again, ana, fa'altu. Ana fa'altu. So we mentioned to you earlier fa'ala, and the fa'ala was the he form, which is coming up in the conjugation order in a few moments. So if I say to you fa'altu, when I write it, it's fa with fatha, ayn with fatha, lam with sukun. In other words, the third position letter of the triliteral root verb has a sukun now. And the ta with dhamma, which is two, is denoting I, first person singular. So again, Ana, I, Fa'altu, I did. That's like emphatic speech. The Ana, which means I in and of itself, is not necessary to express the idea of I did. So again, what you want to remember is that the ta with the dhamma on the end of the fa, ayin, and lam verb denotes I. And if you notice, instead of having fatha on the lam of the verb, we have sukun. So that's why I said fa'al, and I rested on the lam, sukun, too. So again, ana fa'al too. Next, we have the independent pronoun anta. Alif fatha, nun sukun, anta with fatha, anta. Anta literally means you, masculine, singular. So, anta fa'alta. The ta with the fatha on the end of the verb is denoting you did. So again, anta fa'alta, that is you did. It's like emphatic speech by having the independent pronoun in front of it. But again, it is not necessary to have the independent pronoun there to denote you did. Fa'alta itself literally means you, masculine singular, did. Next, the independent pronoun, anti. Sounds like auntie, right? It's feminine. You, second person, feminine singular. Anti. So if you're following the logic, you would rationally assume that the verb pattern would be fa'alti. Anti fa'alti. Meaning you, feminine singular, you did. So going back for review, ana fa'altu, I did. Anta fa'alta, you did. Anti fa'alti, you, feminine singular, did. Next, we have the huwa form. Huwa meaning he. Ha with dhamma, followed with waw with fatha, huwa. And we know that particular independent pronoun is in the Surat al-Ikhlas verse where we say, Kul huwallahu ahad, say he, Allah, is one entity, one being. It cannot be separated or divided into parts. So the verb pattern for the he form is fa'ala, just three letters, with fatha. Huwa fa'ala. So again, huwa fa'ala. Next, she, the independent pronoun is hiya. Ha with kasra, ya with fatha. Hiya. And then fa'alat is the verb pattern. Fa'alat. So if you notice, the ta now has a sukun. If you listen to the sound, fa'alat. I'm just resting on the T. Fa'alat. No fatha on the ta. No dhamma on the ta. No kasra on the ta. But simply the sukun. And I'm resting on that ta. That's the she form. Fa'alat. Hiya fa'alat. Moving on. The independent pronoun for we, which is the first person plural, nahnu, nahnu. Notice I said nahnu instead of nahnu. We have the letter nun with fatha, followed with ha with sukun. And because of this ha with sukun, I changed the sound of the nun fatha, which would have generally have been na, I changed it to na, and I say nahnu. So that's nun with fatha, followed with a ha, which is the first H, the air coming out, with sukun, and the nun dhamma concludes that independent pronoun for we. Nahnu fa'alna. Notice. Nahnu fa'alna. Now we're lengthening the noon with fatah and adding aleph. So nahnu fa'alna. We still have the fat, ayin, and the lam. And we have the sukun on the lam, again, as we did in the first three conjugations of ana, anta, and anti. Now, if you notice, the he form and the she form has three fatahs on the fat, ayin, and the lam. And the only difference between the he form and the she form is the insertion of the ta sukun for she, which is, again, hiya fa'alat. So to help you in your recall of these conjugations, I'm going to make various points. The independent pronoun, nahnu begins with a noon, dealing with we. So the noon fatah, lengthened with aleph, is the suffix for the we did conjugation. Nahnu fa'alna. Next one. This is y'all, masculine plural. Well, you can say for better, using better English, you all, masculine plural. The independent pronoun is antum. Antum. That's aleph, fatah, noon, sukun, ta with dhamma, meem, sukun. Antum. Next, fa'altum is the conjugation. So all we did was take the tum off of the independent pronoun and attached it as a suffix after the three-letter verb letters, the three-letter root letters, that is. So again, antum fa'altum has a rhyme to it, right? So if you remember antum, you should remember that the tum goes on the end of the three verbal root letters. So again, antum fa'altum. So we're going to go back. Ana fa'altu, I did. Anta fa'alta, anti fa'alti, huwa fa'ala, hiya fa'alat, nahnu fa'alna, antum fa'altum. Next, y'all feminine plural. More proper English, you all, feminine plural. Antunna is the independent pronoun. Kind of like a tongue twister there. Antunna. Aleph fatha, a, noon sukun, an, ta with dhamma, two, and then we have the noon with shadda, fatha. So antun, that's the first noon. And then the second noon takes fatah. So again, it's antunna, meaning you all, feminine plural. So it follows the logic of the previous one. We take the tunna ending and we put it as the suffix of the three-letter root verb. So we have antunna fa'altunna. Antunna fa'altunna. So what we're trying to get you to understand is this, that the ta dhamma, denoting I, the ta fata, denoting you, masculine singular, the ta kasra, denoting you, feminine singular, and the he form is always three letters with the fata, or if it's the two-letter root, it will still have a fatah on the last letter in the he form. And also, if it's a four-letter root, it would have a fatah on the letter, the last letter, in the case of the verb tarjama that I mentioned. So if you notice, tarjama has the sukun on the second letter of the four letters, and the other three letters have fatah. So again, tarjama. Tarjama, he translated. All right. So let's move on here. If you understand what I just stated, then you know that if you have a second form verb, a third form verb, tenth form verb, or whatever, these suffixes will be consistent as you go from the first person, the second person, the third person, and on into the duals. So moving right along here, the independent pronoun is whom, H-U-M for English transliteration, if you will. Ha with Dhamma, not the first ha, but the second ha at the end of the chart, followed by Mim Sukun. So that's whom, H-U-M, whom. And then we have the verb pattern, they, masculine plural. Whom meaning they, masculine plural. Fa'alu is the verb pattern. Fa'alu, if you notice I'm listening, the lamb, after having put Dhamma over it, and I lengthen it with the letter Wow. And after the Wow, I have an Aleph. You have to see this in print. I'm coming from page 86 of my book. But inshallah, if you don't have my book, you will get it and go back to the archives and listen to this presentation. Or you will secure the verb conjugations from the internet or from another book. So again, it's whom fa'alu. The aleph is called the guardian aleph, and all it does is guard the verb pattern there, fa'alu, from the next word to follow, so that you will not have a problem of thinking that that wow, which kind of goes into the space beyond it, is a part of the next word to come. We use the aleph as a guard or a wall, so to speak, separating this verb pattern from any words or verbs to follow. Hum fa'alu. Next, we have the they feminine plural independent pronoun, and it is hunna, hunna, H-U-N hyphen, hun, and then nun fata, hunna, H-U-N hyphen N-A. Hunna. Notice I'm making a very abrupt stop on the first noon because it's ha with Dhamma followed by noon shadda fatha. So it's hunna. So we have now the verb conjugation for they, feminine plural. It's fa'alna. Fa'alna. So all we do is have a noon fatha as the suffix. Very abrupt stop. Fa'alna. It's very important to make an abrupt stop because if I lengthened it, we would be going back to the fa'alna conjugation, which is we did. So fa'alna is they, a group of female entities did. So just the lengthening of the sound in the we pattern is denoting we did, fa'alna. And then the shortening of the nun fata fa'alna is denoting they, feminine plural, did. I want to reiterate that it is very important for you to memorize the 13 conjugations that I'm in the process of giving you now, and it will serve you greatly as you continue your studies into the Quran and the Arabic language itself. So the next conjugation is the dual, second person masculine and feminine dual. So the question is, what is the independent pronoun? And it is antuma, antuma. All I'm doing is lengthening the mim fatha with aleph, antuma. And if you recall, the you or y'all masculine plural independent pronoun was antum. So here, the second person masculine and feminine dual pattern is similar to antum, but instead of having a sukun on the meme or the M, we put fatha and we lengthen it, and the sound is now, or it is pronounced, antuma, antuma. So now, if I want to say, you did, speaking to two males, a male and a female, or two females. It would be Fa'altuma. So all we did was took the tuma off of the end of the independent pronoun and attached it to the three-letter verbal root pattern, and we come up with Fa'altuma. Fa'altuma. Next, we have the third-person masculine dual. What is this? They too did, meaning I'm talking to you, which you are the second person, about a group of two people in the third person. So I am the first person, you are the second person, and the third person masculine dual is two entities that I'm referring to. And the independent pronoun is huma, huma, huma. If you notice, they, masculine plural in the third person, is whom, H-U-M, whom. So we take the mean and take the sukun off of it and put a fatha, and we lengthen it with aleph to get the third person independent pronoun dual. So that's huma, huma. And the verb pattern is fa'ala, fa'ala. Now notice I'm lifting the lamb fatha with aleph. Fa'ala. And if you're following the flow, you'll remember that the he form was simply fa'ala. No lifting of the lamb, but just three short, choppy utterances, if you will. Fa'ala. Whereas the third person masculine dual is fa'ala. So I'm lifting the lamb fatha with aleph. So again, huma fa'ala. Next, which is the last of the 13 conjugations, third person feminine dual. So what is this referring to? Me talking to a second person about a third group, which happens to be two female entities. And as they have structured the language, the independent pronoun for the third person masculine dual and the third person feminine dual is the same. Huma again. So huma, fa'ala, and the third person feminine dual. Huma, fa'alata, fa'alata. So here we have the fa with fatha, the ayin with fatha, lam with fatha again, as in fa'ala. But to get the third person feminine dual, we add the suffix ta with fatha, lengthened with aleph. So again, huma fa'alata. So that concludes the conjugation, and I'm going to go over them in a rhythm, if you will. Perchance you will commit ASAP, these conjugations, to memory. So ana fa'altu, anta fa'alta, anti fa'alti, huwa fa'ala, hiya fa'alat, nahnu fa'alna, antum fa'altum, antunna fa'altunna, hum fa'alu, hunna fa'alna, antuma fa'altuma, huma fa'ala, huma fa'alata. The Arabic grammar term that we use for the past tense, also known as the perfect tense, is al-madi, al-madi. That's aleph, fatha, lam, sukun, which is a definite article, al, and then mim with fatha, lengthened with the aleph, ma, and then dod with the kasra, with the ya, to lengthen it. Al-Mahdi. Okay, moving on to the imperfect tense, which is also referred to as the indicative tense, and some people call it the present tense. And as I mentioned on many occasions, and I'll mention again, technically, Imam Warqi Muhammad suggested that there is no present tense. And I would agree from the standpoint, as the song War goes, Time keeps on slipping into the future. I'm not a great singer, but you got the message. If you're about close to my age, I'm sure you're familiar with that song. But we know that time is not slipping. Time is moving by the power and grace of Allah into the future. The grammatical term used in Arabic for the imperfect indicative tense is al-mudari. So I'm making emphasis on the fact that there's an ayn on the end of that. It is al, that's aleph, fatah, lam, sukun, and then mim, dhamma, mu, and then the dod with fatah, mudar, and then the ra with kasra, and then the ayn with dhamma, al-mudari'u. So without having the utterance of the dhamma on the ayn, we just say al-mudari. Okay, moving right along here. If you recall, the independent pronoun was ana. So now, we're going to be doing a lot of changing on the prefixes and the suffixes in this indicative tense conjugation. The first thing we come up with for the I am doing, if you remember, for all two was I did, and now in the indicative tense, or the present tense, if you will, I want to say I am doing. And the way we do it is we take the aleph fatha off of the independent pronoun ana, and we place it now as a suffix. Pardon me, as a prefix. We know a prefix is something that comes before, and a suffix is something that comes as an ending. So now we take the aleph fatha as a prefix in front of the fa, ayin, and lam, and now we make a change and we put a sukun now on the fa of the verb, or the first letter of the verb. And now it's f, a, and then we change the fatha off of the lam and put dhamma, so we got f'alu. So ana f'alu, that's I am doing. Like currently, right now, I am doing. I said I twice because ana by itself means I, and f'alu by itself means I am doing. So ana f'alu. Next we have anta. Again, the independent pronoun, you, second person masculine singular. And the conjugation for you are doing right now is tef'alu. So if you notice, instead of saying f'alu, which is denoting I put a ta there, and now it's denoting you are doing. So we took the ta off of the independent pronoun enta, and we use it as a prefix. And now we say tef'alu. Anta tef'alu. Next, the independent pronoun, anti. Anti. And this, again, is a lesson that you should study until you master it. Anti, same as anti, so you know it has some femininity there. Anti. Now, here is the conjugations. It's kind of an aberration and doesn't really follow a logic, this particular conjugation in the imperfect tense. And here it is. Tef. A-li-na. So here we've added a prefix of ta, which has something to do with the second person, if you will. And we have fa with sukun, so that's tef. And then we have ayin with fatha, which is a standard throughout the conjugation, that is the ayin with the fatha. That's standard in the first form, present tense, and also the first form, past or perfect tense. So again, tef a, lam with shedda, ya to lengthen the lam kasra. Again, ta with fatah, fa with sukun, so that's tef, ayin with fatah, a, and then lam kasra, followed with the ya to lengthen it, so it's tef ali, and then we have nun fatah as the ending of this conjugation for you feminine singular are doing. So, antitefalina. Antitefalina. Next, the hua form. That is the he form in the imperfect tense, which is also known, again, as the indicative tense. And the Arabic term is el-mudari. So, hua yef'alu. Hua yef'alu. So we just simply put a ya fatha as a prefix. So if you're following the flow, the only difference between I am doing and he is doing is the exchange of the alif fatha, which was dealing with I am doing, to a ya with fatha for he is doing. So huwa yaf'alu. And if you noticed, anta taf'alu is you are doing. So we're utilizing the aleph fatah for I. We're utilizing the ta fatah for you masculine singular. And we're using the ya fatah for he is doing. Moving along. Hiya is the independent pronoun. And as they have structured the language, we have a repeat of tef'alu. Tef'alu was the conjugation that we use for the second person masculine singular. As they have structured the language, the she form is the same as the you masculine singular form. So how will you know, or how will I know, if it's speaking of you are doing or she is doing? You'd have to put the name of the person, male or female, to make it clear, or have the pronoun, independent pronoun there. So far we have given you the imperfect tense. Ana af'alu, anta taf'alu, anti taf'alina, huwa yaf'alu, hiya taf'alu. And as I mentioned a moment ago, the taf'alu is the same as the you second person masculine singular conjugation. So taf'alu is she is doing, and also it is you masculine singular are doing. Okay, next we have the independent pronoun nahnu, which is we. Allah says in the Quran, nahnu al-warithun, we are the inheritors. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and all that he wants to continue. So let's move on here. The conjugation for we, all we do is take the nun fatha off of the independent pronoun, and we put it as a prefix. And we come up with naf'alu. Naf'alu. Not af'alu or taf'alu or yaf'alu, but naf'alu. Nun fatha as the prefix. So if you're following the flow, the only difference between some of these conjugations is the prefix letter. Again, f'alu, tef'alu, yef'alu, and now nef'alu, nun fatha. So nahnu nef'alu, meaning we are doing. Antum, again, is the independent pronoun, y'all, masculine plural. Tef'aluna is the conjugation. Now you notice I'm lengthening the lam with dhamma, and the waw is lengthening it, and I have nun fatha as the final letter. So tef'aluna. So if you're following the flow, the only difference between the you masculine singular form and the you masculine plural form is the adding of the waw and nun fatha to denote plurality. Just like we say, mukminun is Muslims. That un ending a waw with nun fatha denotes plurality even with the nouns. Muslimun, Muslims in the plural. So all you want to remember here is that the plural has a lengthening here by adding waw and the nun fatha. So again, it's antum taf'aluna. I'm saying lu because we have lam dhamma followed by waw to lengthen it and nun fatha as the ending portion of that. Antum taf'aluna. This is coming again from page 86. Moving right along here, the independent pronoun for y'all, feminine plural, a group of three or more feminine entities, is antunna, antunna, taf'alna, taf'alna, antunna, taf'alna. That's ta with fatha. Try to visualize this. Fa with sukun, so I rest. Taf. They have ayin with fatha, so that's ah, as in Ali. Then we have the lam sukun, taf'al, then nun fatha, na. Taf'alna. And tunna taf'alna. Next we have they, masculine plural, third person masculine plural, whom we mentioned earlier. The conjugation is yef'aluna. Yef'aluna. And if you remember, yef'alu was he is doing. So now I want to say they, a masculine group, are doing. I just lengthen it by having waw and the nun fatha after the lam dhamma. Hum yef'aluna. Translated, they are doing. In the previous one was antunna taf'alna. You all, feminine plural, you all are doing. Okay, moving right along. The they, feminine plural, or y'all, feminine plural, three or more. Hunna is the independent pronoun. The conjugation is yef'alna. Yef'alna. Very similar to taf'alna for the second person feminine plural. But now, the third person feminine plural has a ya as a prefix as opposed to a ta. I hope you have the chart where you can discern what I'm talking about. And again, I encourage you to secure the book. Next, we have antuma, the independent pronoun. Antuma. And the conjugation is tef'alani. Tef'alani. We're lifting the lam fatha with aleph, and we concluding that particular conjugation with nun kasra, which is N-E, right? Tef'alani. Antuma tef'alani. You too are doing, like right now, present tense. Next we have huma, again, the independent pronoun for the third person masculine dual. Huma. And the conjugation is, instead of tef'alani, it's now yef, yeah, with the yeah, yef'alani. So that's the third person masculine dual. Translated, they too are doing. And the last one, in the imperfect tense, the independent pronoun, as I mentioned earlier, is the same for the third person feminine dual, meaning two feminine entities. Now speaking to you about huma, and the ending, or I should say the conjugation itself, is the exact same as the third, pardon me, it's the exact same as the second person masculine and feminine dual, tef'alani. So that's a repeat there. Huma tef'alani. And as you might recall, I told you that the you, second person masculine singular, tef'alu, is the same as the she, third person feminine singular, tef'alu. So in effect, you only have 11 conjugations to remember here, and they're so similar in form that you can really memorize them quickly. So I pray a lot that you will take the time to memorize them, and you'll be served, as I indicated, as you begin to understand the other verb patterns. So I conclude this particular lesson on the first form by just reciting an ayah from the Quran that I have on the bottom of page 86. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Wa wuffiyat kullu nafsim ma amilat wa huwa al-lamu bima yaf'alun. Again. Wa wuffiyat kullu nafsim ma amilat wa huwa a'lamu bima yaf'alun. If you heard that yaf'alun, that is, they are doing. So translating this particular ayah, and to every soul will be paid in full the fruit of its deeds, and Allah knows best what they are doing. Now, what are we doing right now? Allah knows best what are we doing now and what we will do in the future and where we will go. Jannah or Jahannam. That's heaven or hell. That's the glorious Quran 3970.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu wa jannatuhu. That is, the peace of God be upon you, His mercy, His blessings, and His paradise. I am Sadiq Jihad. The presentation this evening on the program segment entitled Understand the Glorious Quran will be on the second form of the verb, the imperfect tense and the perfect tense. And we want to just quickly conjugate the verb in the present and also the past tense, not in the sense of trying to get you to memorize it right here and now, but to just at least hear the sound of the conjugation, and at some point in time, inshallah, you will secure the book, The Language of Revelation, if you have not done so already, or you will have access to books that have the conjugation in them, inshallah. So I begin with the first person singular, and that is fa'altu, fa'altu, meaning I did. Fa'alta, you did, masculine singular. Fa'alti, you, feminine singular. Fa'ala, he, third person masculine singular. Fa'alat, she, third person feminine singular. Fa'alna, we, that's the first person plural. Fa'altum, you all, second person masculine plural. Fa'altunna, you, second person feminine plural. Fa'alu, they, third person masculine plural. Fa'alna, third person feminine plural. Fa'altuma, second person masculine and feminine dual. Fa'ala, third person masculine dual. Fa'alata, 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 they, third person feminine dual. That concludes the past tense, and is also referred to as the perfect tense, in the sense that many times it's used to indicate a completed act. And now the imperfect tense, which is also referred to as the indicative tense. And many like to say present tense, But we do remember hearing Imam Waqi Muhammad say some years ago, and I agree with him, that the present really doesn't exist because the moment I speak, it's gone. So time moves and moves and moves on into the future, and so we would prefer to call it the imperfect tense. The term that we use for the imperfect tense in Arabic is al-mudari, and then the term that we use for the past or the perfect tense is al-madi, al-madi. And now the conjugation of the imperfect tense, the first person singular, ufa'ilu, ufa'ilu. Now what I'm trying to do is emphasize the fact that there's a shadda on the ayn of the verb, or the second letter of the verb, and we commence with the aleph dhamma as a prefix for the I form. And this is consistent with the fact that the independent pronoun is ana. So we simply take the aleph fatha and put a dhamma on it in the second form conjugation, and we come up with u, ufa'ilu. The next one, tufa'ilu. And here we have the ta dhamma. So if you notice, in all of the conjugations in the imperfect tense, it begins with a dhamma over the prefix. Tufa'ilu, tufa'ilina, yufa'ilu, tufa'ilu, nufa'ilu, tufa'iluna, tufa'ilna, yufa'iluna, yufa'ilna, tufa'ilani, yufa'ilani, tufa'ilani. And we're going to go over them again. Fa'altu, fa'alta, fa'alti, fa'ala, fa'allat, fa'alna, fa'altum, fa'altunna, fa'alu, fa'alna, fa'altuma, fa'ala, fa'ala, fa'alata. The imperfect tense again. Ufa'ilu, tufa'ilu, tufa'ilina, yufa'ilu, tufa'ilu, nufa'ilu, tufa'iluna, tufa'ilna, yufa'iluna, yufa'ilna, tufa'ilani, yufa'ilani, tufa'ilani. And again, the conjugation is on page 110 of my book entitled The Language of Revelation. And if you choose to secure the book, and I encourage you strongly to do so, go to SadiqJihad.com. That's SIDDEEQJihad.com. Or you can send a mere price of $25 to Sadiq Jihad, Post Office Box 401165, Redford, Michigan 48240. I repeat, Post Office Box 401165, Redford, Michigan 48240. Redford is spelled R-E-D-F-O-R-D. And if you choose to do a transaction over the phone, you can call my business office and leave your number, and I can give you a call back, and we can do the transaction over the phone by way of debit card or credit card if you happen to have credit cards. And now, to give you some examples of the second form in action in the Glorious Quran, we refer you now to the Quran, verse 2 of Surah Ar-Rahman, that is 55:2. And also, I would encourage you to grab yourself a writing implement along with a piece of paper to jot down the verses that I'm about to utter now, in hopes that you'll be able to follow the flow of them if I get to them this evening, and if not, we will continue next week with these verses. We intend to refer to 33, 447, 9, 19 and 20, 941, 1132, 24, 41, and now we go to 3:3. Pardon me, we're going back to 55:2, and that is Allamal Quran. So Allama is on the pattern of the second form, third person, masculine singular. And the pattern is Fa'ala. Here we have a letter with Fatha, followed by a letter with Shadda Fatha, followed by Lam Fatha. Fa'ala. So in this case, we have the letters Ayn as the first letter of the verb, Lam as the second letter of the verb, and Mim as the third letter of the verb. But the markings, what we call tashkil, stays the same, but the letters are replaced with different letters to denote various meanings. So here we have the three letters, as I mentioned, Ayn with Fatha, Lam with Shadda Fatha, which is a characteristic of the second form in the past or perfect tense, where you have the first letter with Fatha and the second letter takes Shadda Fatha, and the last letter in the He form, that is, takes Fatha. So this is the key form, the third masculine singular, in terms of looking up words in dictionaries. So really what we're saying simply is that Allama is the He form, and then we gave you the other 12 conjugations a few moments ago. So Allama al-Quran, we understand the second form to mean repetition over a long period of time. It has to do with intensity, and also has to do with demonstrating a particular thing. And there's some other shades of meaning as well, but we just want to focus on, in this case, this particular ayah, the demonstrative implication of the second form. So here we have in the first form, Alima, which is Ayn Fatha, Lam Kasra, Mim Fatha. And I mentioned last week the fact that when we have a Kasra on the middle letter in the first form, past tense, it denotes a temporal quality about that particular verb action. So, Alima means he knew. So, we know that many times we forget, and many times dementia and just sheer longevity causes us not to remember after having known this or known that. So, Alima would suggest he knew. So, when I take that same triliteral root Ayn, Lam, and Mim to the second form, now I am demonstrating that I know something. So Allama. So here it is. Allah is telling us that He teaches this Quran. Allama al-Quran. He teaches this Quran over and over and over again throughout time. Praise be to Allah. Another example going now to 3:3, where Allah says, Nazzala alayka al-kitaba bil-haqqi musaddiqan lima, pardon me, musaddiqan lima bayna yadayhi wa anzala al-turata wal-injila. I repeat, Nazzala alayka al-kitaba bil-haqqi musaddiqan lima Baina yadehi wa anzalal turata wal injila. That is, in translation, Abdullah Yusuf Ali, it is He who sent down to you, and He has in parentheses, step by step, in truth, the book, confirming what went before it, and He sent down the law of Moses and the gospel of Jesus. So here, He's translating Nazala as sending down, but He puts in parentheses step by step to indicate the second form implication of something that happens over a period of time or gradually. And also over and over again, too, is also a part of this second form verb. Nazala also means to send down rain. And we know that Allah sends down rain over and over again. And we know that the rain is a metaphor for revelation, which He sends down over and over again. Praise be to Allah. So another example, we go to it now from the Surah 4, verse 47. Surah 4, verse 47. And it is, Ya ayyuhal ladhina utul kitaba aminu bima nazzalna musaddiqan lima ma'akum min qabli an natmisa wujuhan fa naruddaha ala adbariha. That is, O you people of the book, believe in what we have now revealed, confirming what was already with you before we changed the face and fame of some of you beyond recognition. That is the first portion of that Ayah 47. So here we have the we form of nazzala in the past tense, where it says, Aminu bima nazzalna, nazzalna. So that na ending denotes we. And Allah is saying that we have revealed it. It came down. We sent it down. Allah is letting you and I know that He is the sender of this Quran, and the we is just really indicating the agents that He has complete control and power over and created, is being a part of the system that He has set up to bring revelation to the Homo sapien and to any being that He chooses to bring revelation to, that He Himself has created and, as I indicated, has power and control of at all times. So again, the verb is nazalna, nazalna. Notice we have the Nun Fatha followed by the Zain with Shadda Fatha. So remember, the first letter takes Fatha, the second letter takes Shadda Fatha, and the last of the triliteral letters take a sukun in the case of adding Na on the end. And there's some exceptions to sukun being on the third letter of the root, but suffice it to say right now that many of the conjugations in the past tense takes a sukun on the third letter of the verb, which we call the lam of the verb, which really just means the third position letter. And that third position letter could be any of the 28 letters or 29 letters if you count Hamza as a separate letter from Aleph. So to be more precise with you, if you count the number of times the sukun appears on the conjugation in the past tense, you will find that it appears 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 times out of the 13 conjugation, you will find a sukun on the third letter of the verbal triliteral root. So what are the exceptions, the other 5? The other 5 is the third person masculine singular, which has fa'ala, just a fatha on the third letter of the verb. Then the third person feminine singular is fa'alat. We have a fatha on the lam of the verb, that is the third letter of the verb. And then we have the third person masculine plural, and that is fa'alu, has a dhamma on the lam of the verb. And in fact, the third person masculine plural is the only one of the conjugation that takes a dhamma on the lam of the verb, or the third letter of the triliteral root verb. And then next we have the two duals that takes the fatha on the lam of the verb, and that is fa'ala, fa'ala. And then we have fa'alata. So if you're really studying it and you really want to be clear, understand that the third person masculine plural, third person feminine plural, the third person masculine singular, and the third person feminine singular, and the third person pardon me, let me see here. We got the third person masculine singular. We'll start from the top. Then we have the third person feminine singular. Then we have the third person masculine plural. And then we have the third person masculine dual and the third person feminine dual, which is the exception to what I mentioned in terms of what goes on the lamb of the verb. All other of the conjugations take sukun on the lamb of the verb. Praise be to Allah. And now we want to show you a couple of examples of the indicative or imperfect tense in action in the glorious Quran. We refer you now to the surah entitled Al-Jumu'ah, that is surah 62, verse 2. And if you're listening carefully, I said Jumu'ah. And if you see the actual word Jumu'ah in the Quran, you'll know that it has a jim dhamma followed by a mim dhamma, so that's Jumu. And then we have an ayin with fatha, so that's A. And then we have the feminine T, or what we call the tar mabuta, so it's Jumu'atu, or Jumu'atun, pardon me. Jumu'atun. Jumu'atun. Instead of saying Juma, the correct pronunciation would be Jumu'ah. And now the verse, it says, Huwa alladhi ba'atha fil ummiyina rasulan minhum yatlu alayhim ayatihi wa yuzakkihim wa yuallimuhumul kitaba wal hikmah wa in kanu min qablu lafi dalalim mubin. That is, in translation by Abdullah Yusuf Ali, it is he who has sent amongst the unlettered a messenger from among themselves to rehearse to them his signs, to sanctify them and to instruct them in scripture and wisdom, although they had been before in manifest error. And notice that in the text of the Quran, Allah says la in front of fi, and that la is what we call the lamb of intensity, letting you know that indeed the people were astray in terms of what scripture was about, and also in what moral purity was about also. So la fi dalalim mubin, from before they were la fi dalalim mubin, manifest, clear error. They were clearly astray. Dalalim is another word for astray. Dalim, we hear in Al-Fatiha. So here we have two present tense or imperfect tense verbs, and they are yuzakkihim, yuallimuhum. But in reality, we have a pronoun attached. So the form is really the third person masculine singular form on the measure of yufa'ilu, yuallimu. And here we have the verb yuzaki, yuzaki. So this is a different conjugation in the sense that we have a verbal root that ends with ya. So because of that, we say yuzaki, 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 instead of having a dhamma on the last letter. But that's something we get into at another date in terms of what we call verbs that end with ya, verbs that end with wow, verbs that begin with wow, verbs that have wow or aleph or ya in the middle. It's a little different in terms of conjugation, but yet there's some consistency in the conjugations. So again, yuallimu on the pattern of yufa'ilu. So what you want to understand is that there is a prefix with dhamma before the second form imperfect tense verb, and the first letter of the verbal root takes fatha. The second letter of the verbal root, which we call the ayin of the verb, which is the second letter, takes shadda kasra. And then the last letter of the trilateral verb takes Dhamma. And that's why we said Yualimu. So if you're following the flow, Alima is the first form. That is Ayin, Lam, and Mim. But to take that verb Alima in the past tense to the present tense in the second form, we put a Dhamma on the prefix. In the sense that we're dealing with he, we use the ya. If we were saying you are teaching, we would use the ta with a Dhamma. So you want to associate the ya with the he form, and also you want to associate the ya with the feminine plural in the third person as well. So all of the yas that you will find in the conjugations in terms of prefixes are dealing with the he form in the singular as well as the plural, and we have it in the feminine plural as well, and we have it in the third person masculine dual, the ya dhamma as a prefix. So going back to the conjugation, we have the first appearance of the ya dhamma in the third person masculine singular, and it is yufa'ilu, as I mentioned, and in the ayah 62.2, yu'allimu is the pattern that is being measured here, or duplicated. That is, the first letter with dhamma, second letter with fatha, the next letter shadda kasra, and then the next letter has lam dhamma, or dhamma on the last letter of the imperfect tense. And next, we have the they third person masculine plural conjugation, yufa'iluna. So that lengthening of the lam dhamma lets you know that's a plural. The same thing occurs in many instances in the noun conjugations. If I want to say, I shouldn't say noun conjugation, but noun declension. If I want to say believers, we say mukminun. We make the noon long. Mujrimun, which would be criminals. Muslimun, group of Muslims, three or more. So you want to associate that lengthening of the dhamma to plurals. And next, we have the third person feminine plural, which has a ya as the prefix, and it's really an exception. It's the only feminine conjugation, it's a plural, that has the ya as the prefix, and it is yufa'ilna, yufa'ilna. I'm trying to double up on that ayin with the shadda. Yufa'ilna. And lastly, the conjugations that begin with the ya dhamma, the third person masculine dual, meaning two entities, masculine. And that is yufa'ilani, yufa'ilani. So that ani ending is making it the dual, yufa'ilani. So many times in the Quran, when Allah is addressing Musa and Harun, that is Moses and Aaron, he is using the dual form. And in other ayahs too. And now I point you to the Surah 31, verse 20, the Surah entitled Luqman, 31:20. Allah says, Alam tarau anna Allaha sakhara lakum ma fis samawati wa ma fil ard. That's the first portion of that ayah 20. It translates, in Abu Yusuf Ali's translation, as, do you not see that Allah has subjected to your use all things in the heavens and on earth? That is a very, very powerful statement. And I can recall Imam Muhammad endeavoring hard to register that on our minds, to expand our mind to see that we are cosmic human beings. So clearly the word sahara in the second form, sahara. So we're doubling up on ha, which is the middle letter, the kh. So we got sin with fathah, ha with shadda fathah, and ra with fathah. Again, you can see the mirroring of fa'ala. Here we have fa'ala, the fa with fathah, the ayn with shadda fathah, and the lam with fathah. So sahara is on the measure of fa'ala. So Allah is letting us know that He has subjected for our utility, as Imam Muhammad has mentioned years ago, everything in the samawat, there's seven heavens, and the earth, to the use of this Homo sapien. So that tells us that we got a lot of work to do to understand what use do we have for Jupiter and for Mars and all of those celestial bodies and even moving life in the universe that Allah has created. And we know that Allah has told us in the Quran that we live in an expanding universe. So in concluding this, an ayah comes to mind, and that is in the Surah 42, and this particular surah is entitled Ashura. And I know that Imam Thomas Abdus-Salam has been promoting a Shura conference that is intended to be in Fayetteville, North Carolina in the upcoming weeks. I believe it's something like August the 15th, if I'm not mistaken. But at any rate, this particular ayah comes to my mind. It is a very, very powerful ayah that is understood both in English and Arabic, if you really have your mind open as you read. And I'll read it in English in hopes that you will understand it in English, and then I'll read it in Arabic. And I'm sure it'll be even more clear. At least that's what happened to me. I would read this ayah many times since I've been a Muslim over 30 years, and I never registered what is really saying until, let's say, maybe 10 years ago, or maybe longer. But at any rate, it says, "And among his signs is the creation of the heavens and the earth and the living creatures that he has scattered through them. And he has the power to gather them together when he wills." I repeat, "And among his signs is the creation of the heavens and the earth, and," this is the key part, "the living creatures that he has scattered through them, and he has the power to gather them together whenever he wills." So let me read it in Arabic now. Wa min ayatihi, and among his signs, khalqus samawati, the creation of the heavens, wal ardi, and the earth, wa and ma what batha, he has spread out fihima, into both of them, of moving creatures, dabatin. If you look up this particular word, you'll find that it means a moving creature that moves by its own motor skills, moving creatures of all kinds, beasts and so on. So here, if you're following the flow of what Allah has said, He has stated in this ayah, وَمَا بَثَّ, and what He has spread it, فِيهِمَا, in the both of them, هِمَا meaning the both of them, talking about the heavens and the earth, using the dual here, فِيهِمَا, in the both of them, مِنْ دَبَتٍ, of moving creatures, creatures that move by their own motor skills. So He's telling us clearly, O Muslims, that He has spread it out, moving creatures all the way up in the seven heavens. Clearly telling you and I that there is moving life on other bodies that He has created besides the earth. And then the real beautiful part of it that really excites me, that's why I'm stumbling in my words, because I'm so excited. And He says, Wahua Allah Jem'ihim, and He has the power to cause their Jem'ihim, their joining, Jemihim. The root is Jema'ah, which means to gather something together or to congregate. Same root as Jumu'ah. So he says he has the power to cause their joining. Jemihim. And then he says, either when Yasha'u, he wills, he has the power to do it. Khadirun. So again, Wahua ala jem'ihim idha yasha'u khadirun. So I believe, O Muslims, Allah is telling you and I that there is going to occur at some point in time a joining between this moving life here on the earth and the moving life in the seven heavens that Allah has established above us. And then again, when we really think about it, this earth that we are on is in the sky as I speak. So we don't know if these life's bodies are under us or above us, depending on where we are in the revolution of the earth around the sun. Praise be to Allah. And I have a real joke sometimes. I tell people, they ask me, oh, what you doing? And I'll tell them, well, I'm just going around the sun. And they laugh. And then I go to tell them that we are in the air, you know. Praise be to Allah. So I close with that particular thought. And also this last point. Is it not Allah's intent to have this particular ayah in the Surah 42, the Shura, to let us Homo sapiens know that this joint is going to occur, and perhaps it will not occur until we as Homo sapiens are fit and ready to receive the contact.
I want to bring to our attention achievement, publication that has been produced, and is produced for our community, mainly for our community, but it is for anybody who wants some help from the material that are put into this publication. And the book is called The Language of Revelation, Lugatul Tanzil, the language of translation. And it is by a brother that I have known to be dedicated and devoted to the study of Quranic Arabic and the teaching of that subject to our students and to grown-ups as well. And that is Brother Sadiq Yahad. I think most of us know him here. Brother Sadiq Yahad, will you please stand and face the audience? So yeah. This is Brother Sadiq Jihad. So I highly recommend this book for you all who are studying, grown-ups, but also for our youngsters who are studying in the separate organized Quranic studies classes, and who are also studying in the school system. Our school system, Claire Muhammad school system, Claire Muhammad schools, and like the one in Atlanta and Washington, D.C., Chicago, and many places. I highly recommend this book, The Language of Revelation. It's Quranic, Arabic, with lessons and studies to improve your ability to read the Quran and get more understanding, and to qualify yourself, inshallah, to be a teacher one day. Because out of you, from you who are interested in Quranic Arabic, we are going to get our next generation of teachers and imams and leaders, you know. So Allah be with you all and bless you to benefit from these wonderful projects and publications that our community is producing. This is one. We have others. We have others that I have seen. And grateful to Allah for students and scholars like our brother Sadiq Jihad. Congratulations, my brother.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
This is Imam Sadiq Jihad. You can secure the book by going to our website, www.sadiqjihad.com. That's SIDDEQ Jihad, JIHAD.com. Or you can send a postal money order or any type of money order to Post Office Box 401165, Redford, R-E-D-F-O-R-D, Michigan, 48240. My email address is Sadiq, that's S-I-D-D-E-Q, at msn.com. And the phone number where we can be reached is 313-532-5246. I thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.